Hey, my name is Dustin, and you're listening to episode 35 of Secret Grasp, a paranormal podcast about the strange and mysterious aspects of our world. So today, I want to talk to you about 13 different kinds of hauntings and how you can identify them. So let's just jump right into it. The first type of haunting that I want to talk to you about is the residual haunting. So a residual haunting occurs usually when something traumatic or stressful occurs in an area, for example, like a murder. So it's believed that the negative energy like imprints or records onto the space, and that it acts literally like a tape recorder, and it plays the event over and over again. So the entities that are involved in this kind of haunting aren't aware of their surroundings. It's not an intelligent haunting, and there's no way that you can really interact with the entity. A residual haunting can also occur because of positive things. So you might have heard of ghost stories where somebody hears like a party and music and laughing and dancing going on downstairs, and then they come downstairs to find out what's going on, and then it's completely silent and there's nothing there. So that's a case where positive energy could imprint residually onto a spot. The biggest thing about residual hauntings, though, is that there isn't any intelligence associated with them. So there's no consciousness actually behind the activity. So that means you can't do things like EVPs or anything, because there's not actually anybody there to talk to. You can't ask them questions or interact with them. There's no way that they can respond to you. Sometimes it's believed that there's like a specific trigger that causes the residual haunting to occur. Like it might happen on a certain day of the year at a certain time every day. Or if there's a certain event, like if you're playing a specific board game, or if there's like an argument or crying, that might trigger it. And if you want to like record or capture a residual haunting for yourself, you'll want to find out what that trigger is and then see if you can trigger it and then reliably get it to keep occurring. There's also a theory that what causes residual hauntings to happen more frequently is if there's an area where under the ground there's like a lot of magnetic rock or quartz or crystals of some kind, or running water like a river nearby can even apparently cause it. So that's something to be aware of and look for in the area. And I think there's things about like batteries being drained and stuff like that with residual hauntings, but that might be with basically any kind of hauntings. Okay, so the next one is considerably more alarming, and that's poltergeist activity. This is probably one of the more popular types of haunting that you've probably heard of before. And the word poltergeist in German means noisy ghost, because they usually like move and knock stuff around to make noise, and they can actually interact with the physical environment. So even though you've heard of it a lot, poltergeist activity is actually one of the rarest kinds of activity, although it's pretty frightening if it does happen to you. So some examples of poltergeist activity are loud knocking sounds, turning the lights on and off, even fires can mysteriously break out, you might hear doors slamming, all that kind of stuff could be attributed to a poltergeist. Luckily, I've got two cats, so whenever I hear like a bang in the night, I just assume it's the cats being dicks and jumping off the counters and stuff like that. So if I had a poltergeist, I wouldn't know about it. But yeah, so apparently there's poltergeist reports that go all the way back to ancient Roman times. So normally the poltergeist activity starts off smaller and then builds its way up. So it might start off with just like the occasional knock on furniture here and there. Then stuff will start to move around by itself, and then it gets more and more intense over time. You might start to hear voices or even see ghosts. Then like you might actually, your whole bed might start shaking in the middle of the night and stuff like that. So there's a theory that poltergeist activities are like associated with a specific person, and I kind of buy into this, I think. So it's pretty common for poltergeist activity, or I should say it's most common for female teenagers for whatever reason. It could be like they're going through puberty and they have hormones and their emotions are a lot more like intense than other people. I've heard the same thing about pregnant women as well. It can cause poltergeist activity to happen. So basically it's like unknowingly unleashing the psychic energy in your brain, and it starts doing all this unexplainable stuff in the area around you. So it might be a ghost, or it might be something that happens with people. Yeah, so it's like a living person that uncontrollably does it. Some cases, there's just normal people living in the house. It's hard to like associate with one specific person, though. But then, yeah, you can kind of test this. If it seems like if one person leaves the house and then all the activity stops, then it could be linked to that specific person and it's them like causing it in a way. Most of the time, the actual poltergeist experience itself is experienced by several people in the house, though, even if it kind of centers on one person. It might kind of fluctuate as well. If somebody's more stressed, then the poltergeist activity might go up even more. So if there's like extreme emotional situations like abuse or something in the house, that could contribute to a poltergeist situation as well. And if it's not linked to a person, it might be a spirit or several spirits in the area. It's said that if there's multiple poltergeist type spirits in one area, they can kind of combine their energy together to get stronger and move more stuff and make more noise. So that's one thing to be aware of. And if the poltergeist is an actual spirit, then you have to kind of, usually it's because they're pissed off about something. So you have to find why they're angry and then help them resolve that so they can finally move on and be at peace. Although sometimes poltergeist activity just kind of disappears without warning. Sometimes it's as soon as it starts, it stops like a couple days later, or it might go on for years and then suddenly stop for apparently no reason. But yeah, the next one that I'll discuss, the third type of haunting is orbs. I don't know if this is really a haunting because it's, you don't normally see them yourself. It's something that shows up in pictures and video for the most part. So if you take a photograph, they show up as like a translucent ball of light, usually hovering in the air. And if it's in video, you'll see them kind of go across the screen. And it's believed that the orbs could be the souls of humans that have died, and they're like moving around like a ghost. Sometimes apparently these orbs are seen before an actual full like human apparition appears. Personally, I'm pretty skeptical about orbs because it seems like the more dusty a place is, the more orbs there are. So I'm pretty sure it's just like dust particles, especially if there's like a flash being used, then it's going to pick up every little dust in the air. So yeah, I'm kind of skeptical about orbs, although I have seen some interesting ones that moved in weird ways. Especially, there's some different colored orbs too. If it's just like a standard white or gray one, I kind of write that off as dust. But if you see like a blue orb or something really out of the normal, then that might be an actual ghost. Okay, next kind of a haunting is an inhuman haunting. So because of Hollywood, we kind of automatically, we hear inhuman, we might jump to like demons or something, but an inhuman haunting can be basically any haunting that's caused by something that's never been a human, that's had like their own life and stuff. So it could be animals, angels, or elemental hauntings. So animals is pretty self-explanatory. I'll cover that separately in a second. Angels, I don't know if that even counts as a haunting. It's more like a visitation, I would think. I don't know if angels like hang around and haunt a spot. Then the other one they might not be as familiar with is elemental hauntings. So this is like, if you go to like the ancient druids and stuff or Wicca, they have this idea of like the elements of earth, wind, water, fire, and sometimes there's a fifth element like ether. And Native Americans, apparently the elements were really important to them as well. But in kind of like Europe, the elemental spirits would manifest as things like elves, fairies, leprechauns, gnomes, pixies, goblins, trolls, even like dragons or griffins. So things like gnomes or fairies, those would be kind of like earth elementals. And then if you obviously like mermaids would be a water elemental. And I don't know what fire would be. I know in Islam, I guess jinn are kind of a elemental made from fire, I believe. Probably going to do a whole episode about jinn in the future because I've been talking to somebody that's Muslim recently and they've told me a lot of pretty interesting stuff about jinn that I'd like to share, because I feel like unless you're Muslim, you probably haven't heard a lot of it, but apparently there's like a lot of detail about jinn in Islam that I've never heard of until I spoke to somebody about it. But yeah, it's believed that these elemental spirits, they have some kind of supernatural power. Usually they're invisible to humans, but then occasionally you can see them. But for the most part, they kind of live among trees, in rivers and plants, mountains, even in rocks. And they attach themselves to pretty much anything that you see in nature. Earthly elementals are believed to cause things like earthquakes, floods, thunderstorms, and wildfires. And then there's animism, which is like people worshiping animals, especially if you go hunting, sometimes they'll like honor the kill after they do it. I can talk a bit more about animal spirits though. So the typical animal ghosts that you'll probably encounter in the city are cats and dogs, just because that's most of what there's around. Maybe if you're in the country, you get more like horses and birds and stuff. But animal ghosts are a lot more rare than humans. I can't really, just because they probably don't talk, so you wouldn't like think that it's a ghost necessarily. Also, it doesn't seem as scary. If I saw like a ghost cat, I don't know if it would bother me as much. But yeah, just like humans, animal ghosts usually haunt where they lived, as opposed to where they died, though, and like wherever they feel most comfortable, like wherever they usually ate. Maybe if there was like a litter box, you'll see a ghost cat there a bunch. Normally, ghosts are heard and not seen when they're animals, though. Sometimes they can interact with random objects, like if they have like a favorite ball that they always played with, maybe you'll see it kind of roll across the across the floor. You might see on a couch, there might be like an imprint where a dog or a cat used to always sit, things like that. But animal spirits aren't usually dangerous. They're usually friendly, just like living animals pretty much. I guess you could have like a really malicious dog that's not very friendly as a ghost, but ghost dogs can't bite you, so you're okay. And then talk a bit about demonic activity. So that is like an inhuman haunting, but I would put that in its own category because I've covered it a bit before on like the Ouija board episode and the demonic possession episode. But yeah, demonic hauntings are probably the most dangerous and they shouldn't be treated lightly. So whether you believe in demons or not, if it seems like it's a demon, then you should probably treat it like a demon. So usually a demonic haunting will start off looking just like a poltergeist haunting, but then it'll get super intense. And there's some weird stuff that happens that can kind of tell you that it's not just a normal poltergeist. So religious items like crosses and stuff, they'll either get turned upside down or they'll fall off the wall. They get knocked down or they might go missing entirely. The second thing is that you might smell sulfur in your house, like a rotting egg or like a natural gas smell. And these hauntings, they usually target one person in the house. That's kind of like poltergeist activity too, but poltergeist, everybody in the house can usually hear it, but it's centered around one person. But in a demonic haunting, it's usually like the demon is going after one specific person. Luckily, having a demonic haunting is even less rare than a poltergeist. I think I heard like an interview with an exorcist priest before, and he said something like out of 10,000 people that come to him, they do psychological evaluations and stuff to rule everything else out. And I think only like 1 in 10,000 ends up being an actual demonic haunting. So that should put your mind at ease, I guess, but it could still happen. So demons, they could appear deceptively to you. They could pretend to be like an angel, so they might seem like a being of light coming to you. But then they can try and like convince you to do stuff that is still evil. So that could be a warning sign. Or they could just try and scare you and be like a scary, evil demon looking kind of thing, or like ugly. I think most demons go for this kind of scare factor. But then sometimes they can appear also more subtly as like a black fog or a smoke. And in most demonic hauntings, people claim that they've been followed by like a black fog. So it's easy to identify that. And there's usually the smell of like rotting or like sulfur that goes along with that. Sometimes demons will even like growl at you. And then as things get more and more intense, they might scratch you or hit you and stuff like that. So unlike human ghosts, demons are super strong and they like to kind of show off and scare you. So something to watch out for. But yeah, that's the kind of thing where you probably are going to need outside help to get rid of a demonic haunting. Next, we've got the intelligent or interactive activity haunting. So this is the most common kind of ghost, especially for if you see like a Ghost Hunter TV show, this is the kind of ghost that they're going after. These are like deceased people. It could be a family member of yours, or it could be even like a famous person that there was known to be in a spot that seems to haunt there. So these interactive ghosts, they can be friendly or not. They can kind of show themselves to you a different way. You can, just like a poltergeist, they can kind of make noise, like knocking on stuff or moving things. You might also smell something, like cigar smoke is a really common one. Usually this kind of ghost, they have like the personality and everything, just like when they were still alive. They kind of act the same. And it's not like a residual haunting where they're always walking the same place over and over. There's variety to how they move. And if you do something like an EVP, which is an electric voice recording, and then you can ask questions, and then on the tape, the ghost voice might come back and actually answer you because it's able to respond to you. So there's a whole bunch of reasons that somebody might become this kind of ghost. They might have a unfinished business. They might have had a particularly traumatic event that caused their death, like a murder or something. Just like in the movie The Sixth Sense, sometimes if people die really suddenly, they don't even realize they're dead and they're still interacting with the world like they're alive. They might still have a connection with their loved ones and they don't want to leave them behind. They might want revenge, or yeah, they might be afraid of moving on to whatever happens after death. Okay, and then we've got shadow people or shadow creatures. This is one of the weirder and less explained types of haunting, I feel like. They're not really the same thing as any other type of ghost. They're just kind of like big formless shadows that you see out of the corner of your eye at night. And they kind of act differently than ghosts. They can move through walls. They don't really have any kind of facial features or anything like that. They don't have clothes either. It's just like a solid black mass most of the time. When people see these shadow people, usually there's like a sense of fear and dread. When psychics encounter these shadow people, they say they don't feel like human, and usually they aren't really considered a human thing. So they're not demons. They're not ghosts. I don't know what you would really, maybe they're elemental in nature. I don't really know. Yeah, they can vary all different sizes from child size to human size. Sometimes it seems like they're moving on a track, like, I don't know, they just like move in a very structured way. Sometimes it seems like they're doing like a weird hopping or dancing, and they also seems like they, like their face is looking at the floor most of the time. Next up, we have the ectoplasm. I think in the Ghostbusters movie, they use the word ectoplasm for like a pink slime that is like goopy that comes out of stuff. But in real life, it's more like a mist or a fog that's in an area that's haunted. So it's like a vapor that can, it usually hovers a few feet off the ground, so there'll be nothing, and then there's like a fog that starts a couple feet off the ground. It can be white, gray, or black. This is something that's usually caught on video or photography as well. It's not seen as much. It's like orbs where it mostly shows up in pictures, so everything looks normal, and then there's like a weird fog that's just in the picture for no explainable reason. Sometimes they hang around for a while, sometimes they just kind of show up once and then they're gone. They're most common outdoors, which I guess you would expect from a skeptical perspective, because there could be fog and stuff that you don't necessarily see, but then you take a picture with a flash and the water vapor might light up more than you would otherwise see. But yeah, this ectoplasm is more common apparently in graveyards and in battlefields, basically places with a lot of dead people where a bunch of people died. Next we've got crisis apparitions. So these are kind of like one-time ghosts, and they're actually usually people that are alive or have just died or are about to die. So a crisis apparition is like if you're extremely sick or you've been in a car accident or like a severe injury or you just died, then you can appear to loved ones at around the time of your death. It's like a SOS that they send out when somebody's dying. It's not really a ghost as much as like a telepathic thing, I would say. It's like they're so emotionally distressed that they like psychically communicate or like project themselves somewhere else in the world, almost like an astral projection. But yeah, if this happens to you, you don't really have to worry about a haunting because it's usually something that happens once and then it's gone pretty much. Crisis apparitions aren't really dangerous, and it's usually only lasts like a minute or two and then it's over anyways. Portal hauntings. So these are like, usually these are associated with other activities, but a portal, you probably can guess, it's like a doorway to another dimension or to hell or another world, and entities use these portals to travel through them. I know in a lot of cases of demonic possession, usually there's like a portal in the basement that the demons and the spirits come through for whatever reason. Yeah, the portals can, they're usually followed by other stuff like orbs, weird creatures showing up even, or demons, shadow people, the mists and the fog. Basically, if you have one of these portals in your house, it can lead to any other kind of haunting. And I don't know if they're possible to close. I think you might just have to move. These, I think they probably also are kind of connected to if there's something like magnetic rocks in the ground or something. I would imagine that kind of ties into it. I feel like there's these, I think there's something called meridians that are like these lines on the earth that apparently paranormal activity is like more common if you're on one of these meridians. I have to look more into that, but yeah. Okay, then there's funnel ghosts. This is just kind of a small one. So in old historical buildings or homes, usually these funnel ghosts show up. Usually there's like a specific spot in the house that's cold, and you see them as like a swirling, like a funnel, either of like mist or cloud or whatever. People think these are, yeah, they're just like ghosts, but they don't really take on like a human form. So they're kind of weird in that way. And if you photograph them, usually it's like a spinning light or like an orb, but glowing. And then we've got haunted vessels. So yeah, believe it or not, it's not just humans and stuff that can be haunted. It's like actual vessels too, for whatever reason. The most famous one is the Flying Dutchman, probably, which is appears in everything from like SpongeBob to all kinds of movies. And it's like a big sailing ship that apparently the crew all died and never made it back to port. And then they're just kind of, it's this ghost ship that sails the ocean for eternity, pretty much. But all kinds of vessels can be haunted, like cars, motorcycles, cruise ships, airplanes, pretty much everything. If you can drive it, it can become a ghost thing. So there's like specific tunnels and places where there's like a motorcycle that'll come through apparently like a certain time, like 2 a.m. every night or whatever. So it's like the residual energy of the whoever was involved. Obviously, if there's a crash or something, or if people died, then it's more likely that it's going to cause one of these vessel hauntings. So if a ship is carrying like a bunch of illegal migrants and they all drowned or something, obviously that's more likely than a just like a ship that crashed with one person on board or whatever. So these kind of hauntings aren't normally dangerous, although I've heard of some like the Flying Dutchman where they're actually like ghost pirates in some stories that try and like crash your boat or take over your boat. Like if they can get onto your boat, then maybe they can get away from their fate. I don't know, but yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's like any kind of vehicle. Apparently there's a Abraham Lincoln ghost train that every April 29th it's seen traveling through Urbana, Ohio. So this is where President Abraham Lincoln's body went back to Illinois on a train, and supposedly every year on this day it keeps going back. So that's the 13 types of hauntings. If you have any comments or suggestions for the show, feel free to reach out. You can email me at secretgrasp@gmail.com or reach out to me on Twitter @secretgrasp. And if you like these episodes, go ahead and follow or subscribe, whatever the little button to click on your particular podcast app or YouTube or wherever you're listening to this is. And I'm going to cover all kinds of stuff on future episodes like ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, and lots more. So stay tuned and come back and check out some of my future episodes. But that's all for the hauntings today. So keep in touch, and we'll be back with another episode in a couple more days.